Philippians chapter 4. If I had to put a title on this message, it would be The Great Gain of Contentment. The Great Gain of Contentment. When you get there, say amen. Oh, y'all there already, man? Paul the Apostle is speaking to the church in Philippi. And he wrote this letter, like many of his other letters. Some think he was in prison, but he wrote it to the church, and he was just letting them know that when he was in need, some of them had gave to him. And right here, he let them know that he don't need nothing else. He don't need them to give anymore, but even if they did, he was good regardless. And so let me go ahead and read the text. I just wanted to kind of set it up for you. Paul is talking to the church of Philippi, and this is what he tells. I'm going to start off at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with me, Lord, that I would decrease and you would increase, that you would speak to your people, give them receiving hearts to receive your word. I pray that you would empty me, Lord, and then fill me, Lord, with your spirit. Use me for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, so, you know, this message about contentment, y'all. I know it's not something everybody want to hear. You got to be content in life. But we're going to see what's so good about being content. You know? Paul says, I have learned, if you notice, in verse 11. He said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to therefore be content. And the part where Paul said, I have learned, it stuck out to me. Because if you know anything about Paul's pedigree, Paul is a what? Paul is an apostle. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was taken up to the third heaven. He done saw the Lord. He done wrote the Bible we read. Paul said, I have learned. So this is like a sub point to my first point. Just want to get everybody ready. No matter how old we are, no matter how spiritual we are, no matter how far in life we've come, we all still have room to grow and learn. Paul said, I never apprehended Christ yet. I'm still growing. So if Paul can learn, surely we can learn something from this text today, correct? Or this evening. I'm going to learn something while I'm up here. You understand? And so Paul said, I've learned. Point number one is whatsoever state to be content. And we're going through a bunch of subparts. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. And what is contentment? Let's talk about it. Contentment means to be satisfied, to have soul satisfaction. It means to not be affected by external circumstances, whether they be good or bad. So contentment means you're unmoved. It means that you have soul satisfaction. Now, Paul said, in whatever situation I'm in, I learned to be content. And I just want to talk about the many situations and areas of life that we have to learn to be content in. What's the value of being content? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Paul was telling young Timothy, his son in the faith. He told him that some people, they mistake having a lot of money for being godly. You understand? That's what he told him. How many people know you can be balling, but God not necessarily with you? Man, listen. There's millionaires who don't believe in God. Billionaires don't believe in God. There's false religion organizations bringing in millions of dollars every year and don't believe Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Does that mean they necessarily have God with them because they have money? Do they really have true success because they're millionaires? He said the false teachers mistake money, gain, for godliness. But he told Timothy, never forget that godliness with contentment. That's true gain. You see, now look, Paul could have said godliness with brotherly love. He could have said godliness with faith. He could have said godliness with anything else in the Bible. But Paul said godliness with contentment. That's great gain. That's the only thing he said with godliness going to bring great gain. Great gain. So if you want to have great gain tonight, I think you would want to pay attention and see what contentment is all about, correct? Yeah, man. Yeah, he said godliness with contentment is great gain. Not godliness with blessings, not godliness with love. Godliness with contentment is great gain for you. And so let's look, man. Let's look at it. He said godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. That's what he told him. He said, having food and raiment, therefore be content. So I want to talk about some of the enemies of contentment. Because contentment, the Bible says, is a good thing. When you look in the Old Testament, Psalm 73:25, the psalmist says, who do I have in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth I desire beside thee. Abraham said, the Lord is my portion. So what are we to be content with? We're to be content with the Lord. He is the sole satisfaction for every human being. He is the one you are supposed to be content with. He's the one you're supposed to be trusting in, Jesus Christ. That's why Abraham said, the Lord is my portion. You know, back in the Old Testament, he didn't give the Levites any inheritance. He said, I'm your portion. He said, I'm enough. He told Abraham, I am thy exceeding great reward. You see, his true contentment is found only in Jesus Christ. This is the only place you can find true soul satisfaction, in Christ Jesus. And this is what he wants every believer. This is what he wants every person. But this is for sure what he wants every believer. He wants your soul satisfaction, your soul trust to be in Jesus Christ. You satisfy me, your grace is sufficient. You have to know that he is enough. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to let you know that Christ is enough. He is sufficient, and we can be content knowing that we have him. Now, in the Bible, there's a few different places where we see a problem where some people weren't content. And so I want to talk about the problem with not being content. And we're going to look at the origin of discontentment. Or the problem with the lack of contentment. Anybody can take a guess of the first person who was, or the first being who was not content? Thank you, Pastor. That don't count. It was Satan, Lucifer, correct? And that's why I want to show you where this lack of contentment come from. Because we can go through life and not be content, and we think that's just normal. It's the American way. Some people boast about, I'm never satisfied. Man, that's not tight. That's ungodly, man. It's wicked and it's evil. Let me show you where it comes from. The Bible talks about Satan. He was second in command in heaven. Somebody say second in command. Now, he wasn't number one because God is the Alpha and Omega. You understand? God the Alpha. He the head in charge when you're in heaven. But he wasn't good with just being number two. Now, you're number two under everybody now. The only one who over you is God, but he wasn't content with that. Well, he wasn't satisfied with that. He said, I'm number two. He made me with stones in my body, and when I walk, it makes sounds. I'm a beautiful angel, but that's not good enough. You see how ugly that look? He said, I'm going to ascend my throne above his throne. I'm going to be like the Most High. He said, second, that ain't good enough for me. You know who I am? A created being. The one who made you, he want to be over. So let me show you how ugly the lack of contentment is. Because some of us up in here think that's cute. It's not cute. It's of the devil, man. Oh, yeah, man, we got to deal with it, man. We got to deal with it. And so Satan was the first one who was not content. He said, second in command ain't good enough. I want to ascend my throne over God's throne. I'm going to be the Most High. The angels ain't going to say, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. It's going to be holy, holy is Lucifer. They're going to bow to me. And so, you know, the Bible said, he that exalts himself shall be abased. And so, you know, the rest of the story. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He was cast out. That's where lack of contentment gets you. Bring you down, man. And so Satan was the first one. But how many people know that your lack of contentment can spread on others? Oh, yeah, let me show you. Because since he was not content, he said, I'm going to take a third of the angels. He went shoo-shooing in heaven and he got some of them, took them. And now it wasn't just him. Now he got them discontent. They up there, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Lucifer like, you know, we deserve better than this. Now, they was good before you. They bowing, holy, holy. What you say, Lucifer? Holy. You know what? Yeah, you're right. I deserve a little. Yeah. Hold on. Now, they done move. His discontentment, it spread. Took a third of the angels. It don't stop there. God made some creations called human beings. You ever heard of them? Yeah. Adam and Eve was the first. But the Bible says in the Proverbs, not to make friends with an angry man, lest you learn his ways and get a snare for your soul. But that same principle applies to all sins. Don't make friends with a discontented person, lest you learn his ways and get a snare for your soul. So Eve in the garden, is she talking to a discontented serpent? She talking to Satan. Satan comes slither. Adam and Eve up in the garden, they in perfect bliss. No sin, no bills. Can I get an amen? Amen. You understand? Look, no test to take children, none of that. No death, no sickness, no struggle. The struggle was over. It had never started. They up in there just, look, they just skipping up in there, boy. And they enjoying perfect bliss. And then all of a sudden, someone who is lacking contentment slither on up in there. The serpent come up in there. And he come through whispers. Pss, pss. You know he liked to come to the woman first. He come through. He had God say, oh, Lord. God told him not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and the day you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely. Now, we know that's what the word is, but the devil come to attack the word. So he said, had God say? God lying. The day you eat from that, he know you're going to be like him. You're going to be on his level. That's why he told you not to eat that. I know what's best for you, a snake and not your creator. Of course. So guess what Eve did, y'all? Eve listened to the snake. But it get worse. His discontentment spread to the angels, to Eve. But he wasn't really after Eve, no. He was after that head. He was after Adam. But he said, I can't just walk up on Adam. Adam, eat that, boy. Boy, I ain't eating that, boy. Get around. Move around, boy. Move. He said, oh, I got something for him. Oh, yeah, I can't just walk up on him. But I'm going to go to the woman first. I'm going to turn hot. Then once I get her, now I'm coming. I'm going to use her to get him. Bam. So after he got her, she come through Adam. Adam. You know, Eve, first woman ever made, boss. So you know. Y'all know how they was up in there. She said, I think we should eat the fruit. And the Bible don't say no contest. Adam just, look, all right, he here. Man, it tastes better than I thought. And so Adam ate it. The discontentment spread from Satan to the angels to the woman Eve. And now he done got God's creation. He got the head, Adam. The Bible saying, Adam, all men sin. When Adam fell, we all fell with him. Doo, 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 doo. Wow. I thought I was going to fall. Huh? Nah. We all fell with him. And that was the fall of man. All because Adam and Eve wasn't content being under God no more. When the thought came that they could be like the Most High too, they said, well, let's go for it. I'm not satisfied no more being under. Let's go for it. But you see, they was good before you, but you got to watch the devil. He'll come make somebody put a thought that you wasn't necessarily thinking of. But they go come and plant that in you. And you know, they just been born. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. The devil ate their lunch, man. He played them. He got game yet. Like that old movie, huh? He got game. Say,
And so he got them, y'all. That was the fall. Look, the fall of mankind came from a lack of content. Oh, you see how important it is to be content now? It's important, man. It's important to know your role, know your position, and be good with it. Adam and Eve fell from a lack of contentment. Y'all give God some glory on that. That's good. That's good. Uh-huh. Yeah, man, it was the fall of mankind. So we are all in sin today because of a lack of contentment by our father Adam. So now you really want to pay attention. I got your attention now, huh? Oh, yeah. Contentment will take you or knock you off. It's a sin, a lack of contentment. I mean, discontent is a sin, man, because you're not satisfied with what you have. Let me show you. The root cause of this discontentment is pride. It's pride. Lucifer wasn't content because he was proud. The Bible said not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but to think soberly and righteously of yourself like you're supposed to. Know thyself. But that pride say, I deserve better than that. Who you think he is? They done told him holy enough. All right, I'm holy too. You want the praise. It's vainglory. And pride is the root cause of it, of the lack of contentment. It's pride. And not only is it pride, but it's an entitlement mentality. You feel like God owe you something and you ain't getting what you owe. Yeah, man, yeah, I'm telling you. This pride and entitlement is the root cause of your lack of contentment if you have. We don't know what we really deserve, what we're really owed. Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. I want to tell you about a man who you can't even be saved if you have this lack of contentment. Because Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, in Luke 14, he says he has to be willing to forsake all he has. There was a man called the rich young ruler. And he came up to Jesus in Luke 18, 23 through 30. And he told Jesus he wanted to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him, all right, sell all your riches and give it to the poor. Then follow me and you're going to have treasure in heaven. It said a man turned around sorrowful because he had much possessions. You see, this man didn't know who he was standing in front of. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. He is the one needful thing. He didn't see the worth of the Savior, so he turned around and said, I'm going to keep my material possessions. And Jesus, you can stay over there. I don't need you. I don't need you. This man stayed lost. And if he never came back to repent, he bust hell wide open because he had a lack of content. He rather have material riches over Jesus. You know the song says, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold? He rather have silver and gold than Jesus. It was in reverse. And we can't be saved if we discontent. Let me tell you. This lack of contentment is a slap in the face to God. It tells God that there's something that was created that's more valuable than the Creator. This man turned away from God for money, riches, and we do it all the time. But you can't be saved putting anything over God. Jesus Christ said it like this. He said, if you're going to come to me and be my disciple, you can't love father, sister, brother, or your own life more than me, or you can't be my disciple. Yeah, man, that's what he said. And you see that mentality, man, of thinking that we owed more than what we are is going to mess you up. It's going to mess you up. Jesus wants him. He wants to be the center of our joy, y'all. He wants to be the source of our satisfaction. He doesn't want you looking to your car, to your house, to anything else for satisfaction instead of him. Because none of those things satisfy like the Lord. None. You can get your new house yet, but after a while, what? You're still paying your note. And I mean, look, it could become unsatisfying real quick. You understand? How you plan? You get your new car. Yeah, it's good. But the new car smell lead. And then you're stuck with a what? A note again. You can get your new husband. Well, hopefully not a new husband, but you get your husband. And you're going to be satisfied maybe for a little while. But since he a sinner and you a sinner, y'all going to start to rub against each other imperfections. And then now you're unsatisfied again. You get your new wife. I mean, wait, you can get your wife. Not a new one. And you won't be satisfied for long. They're going to do something that get under your skin, get on your nerve, aggravate you. Because nobody's satisfied like Jesus. I'm trying to tell you. Man, listen. People look for soul satisfaction in many things. One of the things the young folks do it for in is friends. How many of us have them? Friends. They do it through friends. Friendships and relationships. Y'all know that's why they all on social media. They want everybody to be a friend. Well, I think they like me. Y'all remember that song? They want everybody to like them. And you looking for satisfaction in your friends, but the Lord wants you to look to him. You understand? Your friends is a place. We not only look to friends for soul satisfaction, people look to their children for soul satisfaction. Boy, putting all their hope in that child. I'm trying to tell you, man. What in your life you say everything would be all right if this? I got Jesus, but I would be satisfied if I had this or if this. That means you're not content tonight. Oh, no, I'm serious. That means you're not content. I have Jesus, but I would have soul satisfaction if I had children. I have Jesus, but I would have soul satisfaction if I had that good friend. I have Jesus, but I would have soul satisfaction if you bless me with a spouse. I have Jesus, but I would have soul satisfaction if I got that job I want making six figures. None of those things I just named are sins to have, correct? None of those things are sinful desires. Not at all. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn with lust, correct? All right. So it's not a sin to want those things, but it becomes a sin when you are no longer satisfied with only the law, even though you don't have those things. Man, I'm telling you, man, nothing wrong with those things now. But whenever you're mad at God and now you're not serving him because you don't have those things, that means you've made those things into an idol. And you're not satisfied with the law. Man, it's very, the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's slick. You got to watch yourself. But don't watch too long. Beware of vanity. No. But y'all know what I mean. Yeah, man. People look for soul satisfaction in church leadership. They look for it in presidents. Oh, but Lord. Yeah, you don't want to look for it in this one. Oh, you was definitely let down. They look for it all over, y'all. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's it's over. But the Bible says that God is a jealous God. Man, he's jealous, man. He don't want you loving nobody, nothing more than him. And if you keep loving it more than him for too long, you better be careful because the Lord, the one who gave it, and the Lord is able to take it away, man. I'm telling you, man. Them children that you're putting all your hope in, you spend more time talking about them than sharing the gospel and the goodness of God. Man, look, I could bring people up here testify to you who done lost children. Tell you them children don't last forever, no. Them children don't last forever. I could bring them friends up that you're putting before the Lord. Man, raise your hand if you hang with the same people from high school still. Raise your hand. Look around. No, raise it. Don't lie. Tell the truth. But look around, youngsters. Look around. Man, I don't talk to nobody from high school like talking about just Brian. And it's because he's saved now. That's it. I don't see none of them balls no more. Or when I see them, I mean, they know what it is. So, I mean, they don't want to, what can two walk together unless they agree? But that's a whole nother message for another time. But it's just to say, Them friends, they come and they go, man. They come and they go, man. The Bible said, the grass wither and the flower fade, but the word of the Lord is always the same. The Lord is the only one that's eternal, man. He's the only one who never going to leave you nor forsake you. Man, them friends going to leave, man. And don't get in no trouble with them, boy. Man, get in some trouble with them, boy, and see. See how faithful and true they is. The Bible say the Lord is faithful and true and to the ends of the earth. Man, listen, man. I got a friend right now. He incarcerated. He had all kind of friends. All kind of followers on Facebook. All kind of Facebook friends. Followers on Instagram, yeah. And I went and see him. And he said, man, you the first person to come see me since I've been here. And it's all 6 months besides my mom and my dad. And where all his boys at I used to see him with? Where the female he was with at? They come and they go, man. They come and they go. But the Lord's still with you up in that. The Lord don't act like that. Even though you're out of his sight, you're still on his mind. So just remember, y'all, all those people who we put before the Lord as idols, man. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. They come and they go. Let me show you some signs that you're not content. How can I tell that I'm not content? Or this is some things that lack of contentment causes in our life. The first one it causes is complaining. Somebody say complaining. If you're not content, you're going to be complaining a lot of the time. Anybody know some complainers? Raise your hand. All right. Tell the truth. I didn't say you if you know some. Yeah. Now, y'all, if you don't know, complaining is a sin. Philippians 2:14, the same book. Paul says, do all things without complaining or disputing. Now, in the Greek, this complaining and disputing means mad for your external circumstances or things that are out of your control. The murmuring means grumbling under your voice and just making all kind of sounds. It even means talking to yourself in your mind. Just things you're saying in your head. You just complain. You know, you see somebody with the work and complaining before. I can't believe I got to do that. I should have been doing it. He say don't be like that. That's a sin, man. No, I'm serious. Y'all laugh. Let me get Lamentations 3:39. In the New American Standard Version, if you have. But I'm going to read it to y'all. Lamentations 3:39, the NASB. It says, why should any living mortal or any man offer up a complaint in view of his sins? Boy, I love that Bible verse right there, boy. Oh, y'all didn't like that? He said, why should any man complain in view of his sins? Knowing that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory, the Bible say, what you complaining for? The Bible say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. Me and everybody up in here. Look around. Everywhere you go. Sinner. Rocking everywhere. Sinners up in here, man. The Bible said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He said, how you going to complain and offer up a complaint to God in view of sin? Do you know what you really deserve? No, I'm serious. Like, look, that's the main thing. Oh, I don't deserve this. Do you know who I am? The Bible says none good but one that is God. So if there's none good but one that is God, the Bible says every man at his best state vanity. So who are you? If you're not Jesus, the Bible says you sin and fall short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin, one sin, singular, not plural, multiple, one sin is what? The wages of one, that means the punishment of one sin. You deserve death. Eternal death, separation from God in hell forever, never getting out. He said that's what we all deserve. Oh, yeah. Whether you know it or not. Who up in here never lied before? Stand up if you're bold. Security. Get that lie out of here. No. No, but listen. We've all lied before. The Bible says you should not lie. We've all stolen before. There's not a person up in here that sinned not. the Bible said. And if you sin, you deserve hell, and so you can't be complaining, y'all. If I rob the bank, kill everybody in the bank, and the judge said, all right, we're gonna give you 2 weeks in jail. You're caught on tape killing everybody. You're guilty. Smoking gun. But we're going to give you 2 weeks in jail. Now, y'all, is that a good sentence? I mean, if you was the shooter, it would be good for you. Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah. Now, when the judge bring the verdict, all you see is the criminal. Oh, 2 weeks. Oh, that's too long. I got stuff to do. I can't be up in jail no 2 weeks. Oh, no. Get another judge. You're supposed to be executed. You understand? For all the sins you done, for all the people you killed. You complaining and I done gave you mercy? Well, the Bible says the Lord's mercies is renewed on us every morning. He make his sun rise on the just and even when you're unjust. And you gonna complain to God? Huh? That's how that look, yo. That's how that look. It look crazy to God. That a human would offer up any complaint about anything, y'all. And I know we go through some hard stuff, yes. But the Bible said God has not dealt with us according to what our iniquities or our sins really deserve. Man, no matter what bad thing happened to you, you get fired, you get shot, somebody cut you off in traffic because we complain about some little stuff. Nobody ain't shot you, nobody ain't killed you. I can't believe he cut me off. They saw me. They gonna pull into that spot. Now they know that's where I sit. Oh, no, I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I be feeling some type of way too.
Yeah.
I sit right there for those of y'all who don't know. So if you don't mind, yeah, this is where I usually sit. So if you don't mind, but I'm not gonna complain about it now if I see you there. I'm gonna let you have it. Because the Bible says prefer one, you know, others before yourself. So I'm gonna let you get it. But if you take it after I done told you, you're not walking in love. So, anyway, we shouldn't be complaining, you understand? The Bible say no complaining. That's for my boy, brother. He know. Yeah. And so, guys, instead of complaining about the hand you was dealt, ask God for wisdom how to play the hand that you got, and then you could win with the hand that you got. Ask him for wisdom how to work with what you got. Put less energy into complaining and more energy into praying. The next thing, if you're a discontented person or if you're lacking contentment, it's going to make you anxious. Somebody say anxious. You're going to suffer from anxiety. Anxiety. Boy, you're always worried about everything. Oh, man, what if it rained today and I don't got an umbrella? Oh, man, what if I get fired? Oh, man, what if my stock crashed? My cryptocurrency going down? Oh, what to do? Oh, man, I don't know. Oh, Lord. What if Jesus come back and I'm sleeping? Oh, man, what's going to happen? The Bible says every eye going to see him, you're going to wake up. You understand? So look, don't worry about that. People worry about some crazy stuff, yeah. And most of the stuff people worry about, it's not even going to happen. No, I'm serious. What if I get sick and die? Man, look, the Bible says my times are in his hands. The Bible says who can command something to happen on the earth if the Lord commanded it not? Man, I can't die if I wanted to if the Lord don't allow it. You understand? I'm trying to. The Bible says all my days are numbered and set before I was even born. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord is in control. I don't worry about getting no car accidents. I don't worry about if the plane crashing. I don't worry about if somebody want to attack me, fight me, beat me, kill. I don't worry about none of that. That's my wife. I don't worry about none of that. Do what you got to do, man. That scripture I just quoted, who can command something to happen if the Lord commanded it not? He's sovereign, man. That's in Lamentation 3. Nothing can happen to me unless he allowed. And if he allowed him to kill me, then it's all good. The Bible says to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm about to gain. You understand? But at the same time, I know he got work for me to do. So, you know, I don't think I'm about to die no time soon. But you never know, you know, you never know. But either way, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But the question is, are you good? Because we want to be good. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, But in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He said to pray about all things and not worry. Jesus said, who worrying can add a cubic to his height? When you're worrying about bills, worrying about stuff, is that making the bills go away? It's making your head go away, but it ain't making the bills go away. You understand? So you want to stop worrying about those things. Jesus said, it don't help at all. He said, I'll clothe the lilies of the field, feed the birds of the air. He said, aren't you more valuable than these? Oh, ye of little faith. That's the problem. He said, you don't trust me like you ought to. That's why y'all worried and anxious. You're trying to do everything in your own strength, and you're not trusting in me. He said, cast your cares on me, because I care for you. And if you're really doing that, then you're going to be chill, man. You can operate under pressure. Because life is going to bring you some pressure. Oh, yeah, I'm trying to tell you. I'm under pressure right now. But I'm relying on the Lord. You know, guys, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, that want in the Hebrew is need. Yeah, a lot of people take that out of context now. Shall not want. I want that. Get that. Get that. No. I shall not need. That's why the Bible says he provided all your needs according to his riches and glory. You understand? Needs. That's why he said be content. Another problem, if you're not content, it can result in sins, y'all. You can start sinning in other ways, such as stealing. Somebody say stealing. When you're not content with what you have, you start looking to the next man's or the next woman's. There was somebody in the Bible who wasn't content with what they was getting. He was a soldier. His name was Achan. He wasn't content with what he had at home. Israel was fighting against armies. They kept losing battles, people dying, getting killed. God said, you got sin in the camp. Somebody's stealing around there. They're not content with what they got. Achan took the wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment because he wasn't content. Now, y'all, look what he took. Some gold and some clothes. You know that was a brother. Trying to tell you, man, listen. That man died behind some gold and some clothes. You ever heard somebody getting shot over some shoes? Still the same. Thousands of years later, same problems. And so, anyway, he's stealing. The man ended up getting stoned. Died. Because he wasn't content with what he had. There was another man in the Bible named Gehazi. Somebody say Gehazi. Or Gehazi, Gehazi, whatever you want to call him. He was the servant of Elijah. And he wasn't content. He had healed Naaman, the leper. And Naaman had offered him some stuff. He said, I don't want it. Gehazi said, you don't want it. I do. He wasn't content. Look, the prophet content. He said, I'm good. It's not time for that right now. But Gehazi said, oh, now is the time. And so he went back, lied, and went get the clothes. Now, when he come back, he asked him, is it time for all that? Because nothing wrong with having nice things, now, y'all. But you got to know the right time. You understand? And if it's not your time, you don't resort to stealing. You understand? Because you're not content, you rush and try to get stuff before your time. The Bible says a time and a season for everything under the sun. When Gehazi came back, he said, is it time to be rocking all that right now? Do you know when it's time to do certain things, y'all? Discontentment can make you do things before it's time. You understand? I said it make you steal. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. That's that greed. Wanting what other people got or wanting what you can't have right now. He said, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possess. It's not what your life consists of. Now, I said being discontent can make you steal. But how many people know it can make you steal even from God? I mean, what you mean? It's indirectly. Let me show you how it happens. You ain't get all kind of stuff that you can't afford because it's not time for that right now. Like he told Gehazi. It's not time to buy the 7-bedroom, 3.5-bath house with the pool. It's not time to be driving the Benz right now. It's not time to have this and that and that right now. And so you got these things ahead of time. It's not a sin directly, but now when it's time, it's offering time, y'all. Fast forward. Now you're in your seat. Pastor say, all right, come up, give your best offering. I done gave it. Hampton has it in more ways than one. And so now you done gave your best offering. Now look, you want to, listen, you really want to give to God. You save, you save, man. Tithing don't save you, no. But it's good for you to do. Coming to church don't save you, but it's something that you should do. You want to give to God, but your other masters won't let you. The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. Man, you want to drop an offering. Miracle offering came. Man, you wanted to give some. But you couldn't because you was not content beforehand. You didn't know what time it was. Now, you can't give to God because you got to pay Capital One, Credit One, Citibank, Discover. You got to pay Security Finance, Payday Loan, One Main. Am I missing anybody? Look, you got to pay all kind of people. And then it's like, Lord, y'all laughing. Y'all know it's the truth. I'm trying to tell you. Now you ain't got nothing. Man, listen. That's all from you previously not being content. It's good. The Bible, man, listen. The Bible says one that looketh rich and has nothing. And there's one that has riches, but you can't tell that much. Y'all know most of our people, we look rich, but ain't got nothing. No, I'm serious. We riding in a 2020 Charger with some $2,000 rims chopping the block. Then you turn it into the laundromat. Now, nothing wrong with not having a washer or dryer. But if I don't have one, you think I'm going to buy a 2020 Charger with some $2,000 rims on? That's not wisdom, man. But the only reason you bought that is because you're not content with having just Jesus. You need that to add value to yourself. When the real problem why you're buying all that stuff you don't need is because Jesus Christ is not the center of your joy. I'm trying to tell you. That's the root cause. Man, that's the root cause. I'm trying to tell you. Yes, yep, Jesus. Man, y'all can. Another sin that you're going to get out of that, y'all, is jealousy. Oh, goodness. Somebody say jealousy. 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 Yeah. Oh, but y'all used to listen. Oh, can't believe you. And, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, honoring, preferring one another. Galatians 5:26 says, let us not be devourers of vain desires of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. The Bible said God don't want you to be jealous of what other people have. You see what I'm saying? And when you're not content with the things that you have, you begin to be jealous of others. Now, y'all, us being in church together in community is good, yes, because we can learn from others. I learn from men who know more than me, you know what I'm saying? I can talk to them, learn from them, and that's great. So it's a positive thing with us being together. But the danger is when you're close with people like that, you see what they got, you see different things. And the Bible says you're going to have to guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. And so instead of being happy for your brother, your flesh, your devil, the devil, not your devil, but the devil, your devil, yeah, hopefully not, the devil can tempt you to be jealous of your brother or jealous of your sister. And like Pastor always say, it can happen to the best of us. No one is immune to this. But when you feel it, what you do? The Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. The Bible said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Bam, you got to put that word on that thing. That scripture I just gave you out of Galatians. The Bible says, be not envious of one another. Galatians 5:26. Put that word on yourself. Yeah. I was talking about putting it on the devil. Put it on you. Put your jealous self. You understand? Look, you better put it on you. And get yourself right. Yeah, man, you got to attack yourself sometime. Get it right. Look. Go to war, man. And you got to do it, man. Because the devil will play you. You understand? Things, you know? And so when you're not content with what you have, you're jealous, man, of other people. Now, a person who's content, they're not going to be jealous. Let me show you how that can play out in real life. There was a, no. Wait. I'm not going to give it to you just yet. So it can make you jealous, y'all. Now I want to talk about some areas of life where we need to be content. We need to be content with God's plan of salvation. Somebody say God's plan of salvation. We need to be content with God's righteousness. Philippians 3:9 says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. A lot of people not content with God's new covenant, y'all. They got a problem. They don't like the new covenant that God has made. God made it. The same one who gave the first. And they're not content with God's plan of salvation. The Bible says they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. And they've gone out to establish their own righteousness and have neglected the righteousness of God. What are you trusting in today to save you? Are you trusting in keeping the law to save you? Are you trusting in your good deeds to save you, your good works to save you? Huh? Acts 13:39 says this, and by him, talking about Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Ooh, said could not be justified. See, a lot of people don't understand the purpose of the law. The Bible says they desire to be teachers of the law, not understanding what they say or what they affirm. The Bible says that the law was added until the seed of who the promises was to come. Has Christ come? He said the law is our tutor and our usher to bring us to Christ. He said the law is not bad. The law is good, holy, and true. He said, is the law against the promise? The law is not against the promise of the new covenant. The law, which is in the old covenant, actually points you to the new covenant. They work hand in hand. The old covenant prophesied the new covenant. You understand? Do you understand? Man, I'm telling you, man, look. It's simple. The Bible said, all that desire to be under the law, does thou know what the law said? Galatians 3:10-12 says, for as many of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all the things which are written in the book of the law to perform and do them all. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is obvious. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On contrary, he who practices the law must live by them. Deuteronomy 27:26, if you want it from the Old Testament. He said, anybody who want to keep the law, you got to keep it all. He said, if you break one, you done broke it all. Adam and Eve sinned against God one time. It's no way I broke it, but I'm going to keep trying to keep it to the best of my ability. No. That's not the Old Testament. The Old Testament said you got to keep it all. And if you break one, you're busting hell wide open. So what you trusting in to get to heaven? Because your law say, my law say, God's law say in the old covenant, if you break one, you done broke them all. The man that lived by it got to perform it all. Was you circumcised on the 8th day? Never mind, I don't even want to know. Which you wasn't. They did that the same day the next day, if at all. You understand? But the Bible said you got to be circumcised on the 8th day to keep the law. That's why Jesus was circumcised on the 8th day. You understand? But now let me show you something. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, y'all telling me I broke the Sabbath. He said, y'all circumcised y'all kids on the Sabbath to keep the law of Moses. So y'all breaking your own self. Because if a child was born on Saturday, the next Saturday was the 8th day. It's not 7 days. They count the Saturday as the first day. Sunday the second day. Monday, the third day, Tuesday, the fourth, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Saturday is the 8th day. And so they say, well, we don't want to break Moses' law, so we're going to circumcise the child. But it's the Sabbath now. So it's a catch-22. We're going to have to break the law of Moses or break the Sabbath, which is in the law of Moses. What do we do? Jesus, God put that in the law to show them that righteousness was never supposed to come by the law. That's why he told them that. I mean, he did that on purpose just to show them, man. He said, man, y'all telling me I broke the Sabbath. He said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. You understand? He said, man, let me show you something about the Sabbath, y'all. The Bible says in Colossians 2:16, therefore let no man judge you by what you eat, drink, or regards to a festival, new moon, or Sabbath, which is a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. All that, the whole purpose of the Sabbath was to show you that a day would come where you could actually rest from your works of being saved. Christ is our rest. You can rest from your effort to be good enough for God because it requires perfection to get into heaven. And Christ is that perfection. The Bible says he is our rest. He says, come unto me all that are weary and heavy laden, and you can find rest for your soul. That was the whole point, yes. And the whole point, you're missing it because you're trying to keep it to earn it. But the whole point of it was for you to rest. People think, I heard that the Catholic Church came up with having church on Sunday. Man, that's what somebody told me. Yeah, man, somebody told me. And he said, we're supposed to be worshiping on the Sabbath. Turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 7 for me. Just want to kill that right quick. Because people getting their theology off of YouTube, and that's not a good place, man. No, I'm serious. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm going to show you as such. Now, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave on the what? The third day, which was the, and the Bible says upon the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. What's the first day of the week? So to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord, the church started to meet on Sunday in the new covenant before the Catholic Church was even made. It's in the Bible. Let me show you. The Bible says, and upon the what? When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Well, what is Paul, a Hebrew, doing preaching on Sunday? Ain't he supposed to be keeping the Sabbath? He don't know that? He preached unto them. And that's all I wanted to show you. That's it. I just wanted to show you. Paul preaching on a Sunday, man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, upon the first day of the week when y'all come together, get the offering ready for when I come. That's what it says. That's 1 Corinthians 16:2. The Sabbath don't save you, man. Circumcision don't save you. Keeping the laws perfectly. Since nobody done it, it can't save you. The Bible said what the law was weak to do, not that it was weak of itself. It was weak because of our flesh. We can't keep it. God did it by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, dying for our sins, rising from the grave, fulfilling the law perfectly. Now, if you want to be saved, you got to come to the only one who fulfilled the law perfectly. And guess who that is? Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to earth, y'all, to fulfill the law. Now, all the feast days, the ceremonies, the Bible say all that's done away with, man, in Christ. He said that's done away with in Christ. God bless the truth. Oh, yeah, man. We in a new covenant, a new testament. Why? Y'all going to see watching pastor keep going on Hebrews, man. It's a better way, y'all. And you got to be content with God's plan for salvation and not discontent wanting to have your own. Submit to Christ's righteousness and get with the New Testament. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man. It's serious. A lot of people like some SIM cards. Y'all know what a SIM card is? SIM card from a phone? It save all your what? All your old stuff, right? Right? But the SIM card saves all your old stuff. But what you need to be like is that other part of the phone, the processor. It get the update. It get all the new stuff. Some people, they on that old stuff, that old testament. They on the past. They some SIM card believers. Instead of being a SIM card, let's get the update of the new covenant. All right? All right? Now, some other areas we need to be content. We need to be content with the suffering that comes with being a believer. When I say suffering, y'all, I mean the persecution. All right?
the persecution. Luke 6, 22 through 23. The Bible says, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast your name out as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in like manners did their fathers unto the prophets. The Bible says, think it not a strange thing when men don't want to hang with you no more when you become a Christian. They got some new believers up in here, y'all. When you first get saved, they might not want to hang with you. Your friends, they disappear. He said, don't think it's strange. He said, that's the separation that's supposed to happen. Jesus said, think not I come to bring peace now. He said, but I come to bring a sword. That word sword means a division. He said, a man's enemy is going to be the members of his own household sometime. Because when I accept Christ and you still want to live a life of sin, we're on two different roads. And two can't walk together unless they agree. So you got to be content with that separation. You got to be content with not being cool. Everybody can't like you, man. People didn't even like Jesus Christ, and he was perfect. How they going to like you? You ain't perfect. Jesus said the Pharisees talk about John. He said, John come, you know, eating and drinking, they talk about him. I mean, he come not eating and drinking, they talk about him. He said, the Son of Man come eating and drinking, they talk about him, call him a devil and a glutton, a friend of sinners. They got some people, y'all, no matter what you do, newsflash, they still not going to like you. That's why you got to just be content with the persecution. I'm not living my life to please you. I'm living my life to please Jesus. And that's what we got to be. You got to be content with the haters. You got to be content with the persecution. That's just a part of it, man. That's just how it goes. You got to be content in marriage, y'all. Somebody say content in marriage. Raise your hand if you're married. Anybody married? All right, we got a few married folk in the house. All right, you put it down. You got to be content in marriage, man. Look at your spouse. Look at him. Look at him. You got to be content with that person. You understand? Yeah, man, look. Hey, you married now. And the Lord said you got to be content with that person because he let you pick him. He let you choose him. And y'all that tell that do your part. Or, you know, some other things that can allow for it. But you got to be content in marriage. The Bible says every man should have his own wife and every woman should have her own. So the Bible says you want to be content with your own. The Bible says drink water out of your own cisterns. That's what the Bible said. That's what it said. So what you need to do, what I just came to let you know, is you want to be content with your spouse. You don't want to be trying to be nobody else's spouse. You want to be content with your spouse. You understand? That's all. I just wanted to just let you know the Bible said be content with such things as you have. Because that's what you pick. No, I'm serious. I mean, hey, man. Now, you got to be content with your spouse. But you also got to be content with your giftings, y'all. They got the spiritual gift class about to come up, right? And y'all go take it, check it out. But you want to be content with the spiritual gifts you have. If you got the gift of mercy, the gift of wisdom, use your gift. Everybody's gift not going to be the same. The Bible says we have a diversity of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he give the gifts as he will. So we all not going to have the same gifts. Don't let nobody tell you you got to have this one or that one. Be content with the gifts that God bless you with. Everybody not going to be a teacher of the word. But he said, let not many be teachers anyway. Right? Now, that's people who teach the word and that's not their gift. Some people not content with not being a teacher. And that's one of the gifts that a lot of people like. But you don't ever want to go to a church where the pastor is not really called. Because if he up there and he not really called, the Bible says he's not going to profit the people if he don't meet the qualification of 1 Timothy. You know, 1 Timothy say one of the gifts that the pastor has to have if he has to be apt to teach. And if he's not blameless in all the ways listed, and he's not apt to teach, he doesn't meet the qualification. If you went to a restaurant like Golden Corral, and it didn't meet the health board qualifications to stay open. And they left it open anyway.
what would keep happening to the people that went there? They would get sick. Would they be healthy? So what do you think happened to people when they go to a church and the man of God does not meet the qualifications of the Most High God? Spiritually, they're going to be sick. They're going to be malnourished. I give God glory. We in a good place. We eating right. We eating healthy. You know what I'm saying? Our man of God, he needs the qualifications. So that's not something we have to worry about. But you always want to be looking out. If you ever go to another place or people watch online, make sure they meet the qualifications, because you won't grow like you ought. And man of God, you got to be content with the gifts that offer you. Something else, guys, I had. You want to be content with God's calling on your life. Some people not content with the gifts they have. They want other gifts. But some people, they not content with God's calling on it. Like, God might have called you to teach the word, to preach the word, but you're running from God. Jonah, Jonah, Jonah. The Lord might have called you to preach, call you to teach, call you to be a first lady, call you to be a head usher, call you to be on the worship creative arts, call you to be on the worship team. He might have called you to do something for his name as simple as just joining a church, but you're running from it. The Lord might have called you to salvation, but you're running from it. Don't run from God's plan for your life. Accept and be content with whatever it is he have for you. If it's something good like preaching, preach that, man. All of his calls is good for your life. So whatever it is, you don't want to run from it like Jonah, because we see how that ended up, in the bottom of a well. And so the Lord always get his man. So submit to God's calling for your life. All right? Now, y'all, one of the enemies of contentment is ungodly comparisons. And so one of the things I have is, you want to be content with the success that you have in life. You got me? You want to be content with your success. There was an incident in the Bible where Saul and David was together. And the Bible says Saul slain his thousand, but David what? Saul slain 1,000 and David slain 10,000. Saul start looking at David, and because of this ungodly comparison, he started to not like David. And that's another nugget, yes, y'all. You don't want to compare your brothers and sisters like that in front of each other, because you're tempting one to pride, and then you're tempting the other to jealousy. But Saul wasn't content with the level of success he had. Now, he slain 1,000, he slain 10,000, but they both slayed the enemies of who? Israel. They on the same team, fighting the same battle. So really, we slain 11,000. You understand? That's the way you got to look at it. But Saul wasn't like that. Saul had got over into some judgment. He wasn't content with his level of success in his life. Now, y'all, let me show you John the Baptist, how he handled that. John the Baptist out there, him and Jesus in ministry at the same time. They say, John, Jesus baptized more followers than you. John say, oh yeah, no man can receive anything unless it was given from on up above. That's right. My mic decreasing. I must decrease and he must increase. John didn't even let it phase him. John was content with his level of success. Be content with your level of success in your business, in your career, how much of this you sell, that you sell. If you got a brother or sister selling the same thing you selling, don't be mad at them. Be content with your real estate sale, their real estate sale, your paint, their paint. Whatever it is, y'all do the same. Be content with your success, and don't hate on your brother. You see what I'm saying? Don't hate on your sister. You know, I think about our pastor, man. You know, a lot of people don't know, but when I came here, you know, I was lost, and I got saved. Pastor had a little teaching class, man. He took me to, and he was showing me how to break down the word, me and a couple of other brothers. And he was showing us all kind of stuff. First lady said, you going to show him this? You going to show him that too? He said, yeah, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show it to him. And so he was showing us how to break down the word, because he was content with his level of success. But then it didn't stop right there. Then he opened it up. He said, whoever want to know. Y'all remember that? He opened it up to the whole church. Then he said anybody can come from other churches. He said if you're in the city when I have it, anybody can come. And look, he did it for free. Now, when you're going to show everybody how to break down the word and do everything you do, and then you're going to do it for free, that means you're content with your level of success. You see what I'm saying? Man, listen, man. And that's how we got to be, y'all. We got to be like that. You understand? When you're content with your level of success, you don't mind bringing other people up, letting other people spread their wings. You understand? And y'all, I'm telling you, man, and even though I listen to a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, Tony Evans, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, all them boys, I could have 100 instructors, but none of them begot me in the faith like this, man. No. It's a certain level of respect I got to have for him, even more than Tony Evans, more than this and more than that. And the same goes for everybody, especially if he preached the gospel to you to save you, like he did me. Just wanted to drop it on you. Because when you're content with your level of success, you're going to have an influence and begin to bring people up, and you're going to begin to build other people up. It's not going to be a selfish thing. And so we all got to be content with our level of success. Nobody was content with their level of success like Jesus Christ. Jesus content with his level of success so much, he's seated at the right hand of glory. But he didn't mind coming down to earth, becoming a man, dying on the cross for our sins, rising from the grave, all so that he could raise us up to be seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly place. The law was so content, he made us joint heirs of the kingdom of God. He said, you're going to share in the same inheritance I got. You're going to sit where I'm sitting. You seated in heavenly places in Christ, in Christo. You where Jesus at, because Jesus that content with his success. You understand? Man, listen, I'm trying to tell you. And look, those of y'all who waiting on your success or waiting on God's calling, you got to be content while waiting for your success. The Bible says John the Baptist was waiting in the wilderness until his time to be shown forth to Israel. Think about Jesus. Jesus never started his ministry until how old? 30. So you telling me Jesus, what you think was in Jesus' mind when he was going to church them 30 years? Jesus sitting down in the stands watching the boy get up and preach his word. Boy, you took that out of context. That's not even what that means. Nope, that don't mean that. That mean this. Do you see the humility? You're going to have humility to be able to be content and wait on your season. The Bible says Jesus waited till the fullness of time for him to start preaching. Now, if Jesus Christ, a sinless man, waited till he was 30 to start his ministry, his very calling that he knew God sent him for it to do. He said, the Father sent me for it to preach. John the Baptist waited before he made the way for Jesus. If they could wait for their time, if Jesus could wait for his time, what you anxious and tripping that you can't wait for? What is that thing? I ain't even got to say it. You fill in the blank. You got to be content, man. You got to be content. Man, something else we got to be content in is for my singles right here. You got to be content in your singleness, my singles. Now, content don't mean you don't want a spouse. You can have a desire to have a spouse here. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm not going to sin against God while I don't have one. You see that? The example in the scriptures is Joseph, a single man. The Bible say a handsome man. No wife at the time when he in Egypt. Potiphar wife, pastor just covered it. She said, lie with me. He didn't say, no, I got a wife. He said, I can't commit this sin in the sight of my Lord. He was content in his singleness. You see that? Oh, it's not popular today in Asia. But the Bible said for a believer, every man and woman should know how to possess his own vessel in holiness. You got to be content in your singleness, my singles. Now, if you know, the Bible said you got an option. Get married. But until then, you got to be content, man. Content in your singleness. Y'all, my time is winding down, and so this is what I'm going to leave you with. We have some other areas that we could be content in. But I'm going to leave you with this. Although it's good to be content, y'all, there was an area where Christ was not contented. He wasn't content for us to all die and go to hell. He wasn't content to live a life without us. Not that he needed us, but he wanted to have fellowship with us. He wasn't content to see you all die and bust hell wide open. That was a movie I watched some years ago before I got saved. It's called Taken. Anybody ever saw it? Yeah, you can tell the truth. Yeah, you saw it. And in the movie, the Bible says that we were taken captive by Satan to do his will. And in the movie, this father had a child that was taken captive. And he left from one country and came to another country to break them balls and get his child back. You saw it. He said, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, it's over. I'm going to say it like that. In Jesus Christ, the Bible says he's going to be called the everlasting Father. He left heaven, came to earth to get us back from being taken captive from the devil. He went in the enemy's kingdom and he he took us back. But you know what part, you know, that got me when he got his child back? Oh, see, you came for me. He said, I told you I was coming. Boy, that's the gospel, bro. He said, my own arm gonna wrought salvation for you. He told you in the Old Testament he loved you, but then he showed you in the New Testament when he died on the cross for your sin. So he wasn't content to live a life without you, so don't be content to live a life without him. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him tonight, and he'll save you. Give God some glory.
Come on, give God some glory, saints. Was that not awesome? Amen. That was awesome. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, that was last minute notice, yeah. I called Parker last minute, man. Not before we came or nothing, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? That was, you know, yeah, pastor needed a break, amen, and the Lord put him on my heart, amen, and it's good to have him behind the pulpit, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Like I always say, we got many more men in here, amen, who one day when the time is right, amen, who are going to be able to help us pull this load of teaching the people of God. Amen. And many other women in here as well that's going to be able to teach the women of God. Amen. When the time is right. But Parker did a great job. Amen. Bringing that gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so I don't have to add nothing to it. Amen. He came back. He came to get us, man. You know what I'm saying? And it would be a travesty if he come in, hallelujah, travel from a far country, kick down the door, come to rescue you, and you tell him, I don't want to go. I'd rather stay here and die where I'm at than go with you and be free and be saved. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, amen, but he loved you so much, he came get you. And all you got to do, amen, is just accept him. Just say, yeah. He'll take the handcuffs off you right now. Take you from your slave master right now. Take you from a hostage situation right now. And bless you beyond your dreams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just got to admit to him that you're a sinner. Believe in him as your Savior. Believe that he died for your sins, rose again on the third day. And believe that he's coming back. You just got to open your mouth tonight and confess him. You've heard the gospel. The atmosphere is set. You could be born again. Just pray with me right now. Say, God, our Father, thank you for coming and see about me. You left heaven to come to earth to rescue me, to ransom me, to redeem me. And I thank you so much. I know that you love me. Other people would have left me, but you came, got me. I thank you, Lord. And I admit I've sinned against you, but I believe in you, that you died for me, that you were buried, and that you rose again. Now, Lord, take me out my hostage situation. Save me from Satan, from Lucifer, and his discontent ways. You are my portion, and I love you. You are my reward. There's nothing I want more than you. Save me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And bless me, Lord. And most of all, help me to be content for what I have and where I am. My God is enough. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Awesome job. Awesome job. Awesome job, spiritual son, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The church is stronger tonight. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. Be gracious to you and bless you with shalom peace. Peace in your body. Peace in your mind. Peace in all your relationships. Peace. 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 Dele, dele. That's a ball already. That's a ball already. Peace. 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 Spiritual gifts test tomorrow. Amen. Come and find out where you can work in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Sweet Spirit. Sweet Spirit. Take over this place. Take over this place, sweet Spirit, sweet.